Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special episode of Boat Briefing. I'm Holly Majerison, the online editor at Boat International, and today I'm coming to you live from the Monaco Yacht Show 2025. I had the pleasure of stepping on board the Princess Y95 to sit down with Will Green, CEO of Princess Yachts. In our conversation, Will shares how the shipyard returned to profitability a full year ahead of schedule, the lessons learned from navigating supply chain turbulence, and why the company is focused on quality profits rather than volume. We also dive into Princess's bold product strategy, from the new C48 and center console range to the exciting announcement of the all-new Odyssey series, marking Princess's return to the 30-meter plus market. It's an in-depth look at one of Britain's best-known builders at a pivotal moment in its history. So let's get into it. So good afternoon, Will. We're here at the Monaco Yacht Show 2025. We're on board the Y95 and we're here to discuss some very exciting news today.
Absolutely, yes. And it's the first time that Princess has been at the Monaco Yacht Show for 6 years. So we're delighted to be back.
Well, it's a real honour to be here on board and to be getting the exclusive with you as well. So let's dive straight in.
Okay.
So you obviously recently sat down with our business editor, Gabby, and you explained that Princess has returned to profitability a full year ahead of schedule. So for listeners that perhaps haven't read that article, could you tell us more about that journey and, you know, how Princess managed to hit its target so soon?
Yes, I think we got blown off course quite significantly through COVID. And I think COVID affected all of the industry, undoubtedly, but particularly for those of us that were building high-value boats in high volumes. It simply became a challenge of not being able to get the right amount of equipment. So we had plenty of demand. In fact, everybody that we knew decided they wanted to isolate on a Princess, which was fabulous news from the commercial perspective, until we realized that it was going to be very difficult to buy engines and generators, navigation equipment, virtually anything that had a chip in it and was very difficult to come by. And we'd set ourselves up to capitalize on some fairly ambitious volumes, which was driven by demand from customers, but then found ourselves with the capacity in terms of labor, but we couldn't get the bits.
Yeah, bit of a nightmare that really, isn't it?
It was.
So obviously you had these supply chain challenges and they affected engines and key components, like you were saying.
That's right.
So you touched on how that impacted Princess. What lessons have you taken from that period?
Well, I think in hindsight, we probably tried to achieve too much too quickly. I think Princess has always been quite a cautious company historically. Maybe we let go of some of that caution and tried to do too much. So lesson for me, certainly going forward, is to make sure at all times that the company is operating in control. And if that means when the cycle lifts and there's more demand than supply, that we have to build slightly fewer boats than we would like to, then that's okay with me. I think the fundamental is to make sure that we're sustaining the level of skill in Princess. We're very proud that we're one of the most vertically integrated builders in the world. But of course, it takes time to embed those skills and to grow those skills. We have a annual apprenticeship program. This year, we're actually going to increase our apprentice intake by 50%. But you can imagine from year one of an apprentice intake to go through a four-year training course to be effective on the shop floor takes time. So I think the philosophy is to maintain some scarcity, protect residual values, which is so core to Princess success, and not try and achieve too much when in the upcycle.
Absolutely.
Short version.
Yeah. And you also mentioned with Gabby that you want to generate quality profits rather than being the biggest builder. Can you expand a bit on what that means for your strategy?
Yeah, I think fundamentally it means being able to generate a modest level of profitability through thick and thin. When the market is strong, one would expect your results to be stronger. Mm-hmm. But I think accepting that the market is cyclical and to be able to plan a business that is sustainable through thick and thin is easier said than done, mind you. But it's something that is embedded within Princess DNA When I joined the company in 2003, the business had been through plenty of cycles, but had never lost money. And I think that, that's a model for me going forward, is to live within ourselves and to be able to generate enough profitability to continue investing in exciting new models for our customers. So rather than just being able to develop exciting new things when you're profitable through the upcycle, to me, it's important that we maintain that drumbeat of new product investment and keep refreshing the product range, keep giving customers an exciting reason to come back to Princess.
Absolutely. And actually, that leads us quite nicely onto the news that was revealed in Cannes, where you unveiled the all new C range with the C48.
That's right.
Which is the first center console and outboard model. Why do you think that this was the right time to enter this segment?
Well, I think we've identified that this has been a growing part of the industry for a number of years now. And of course, as a builder that's, you know, deep rooted in product and engaged and in pretty much every market in the world, we're constantly talking to customers and distributors about what we should be building next. So I think a day boat concept, a walk around concept, perhaps a boat with at least the option of outboard power has been on our radar for some time. But the priorities over the last few years were, first of all, to focus on our turnaround journey and get the company back in balance. And now that we've done that and we've got the company, as I say, back in balance, we're able to, you know, spread our wings a little bit and start to do some of the more exciting things and fulfill some of those ambitions that we've had over recent years.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a balancing act, right, of trying to, like you say, get back to profitability, which is great. Tick. Yeah. And now, I suppose, with what you were saying, it's getting the balance of expanding but not doing too much, as you were saying, you know, at the start of this interview.
Yeah, and I think if you look at if you're inside the company, you're able to get an insight into our product plan. Well, our product plan stretches at least 5 years into the future with sort of conceptual vision 5 to 10 years out. So we're always iterating that plan and changing it and modifying it. So I think C-Class as a concept has been in there for some time. It's just taken us a while to actually get to the point of announcing something and getting that recipe right to, you know, approach a market which is, you know, it's quite a busy market. There's a lot of players in this area already, but no one is quite building the product that we felt should be built, at least for a Princess customer. So it's addressing that day boat ability, you know, high safe bulwarks, strong performance, but also with the volume of interior that offers one stroke, two cabins. So it becomes more than just a day boat. It becomes a weekender or perhaps even a boat you go away for a week on.
Yeah, it's got the perfect blend. And obviously the C48 is offered with triple outboards for the US and then inboard diesel for Europe. How important is that flexibility in catering to different markets then?
Well, I think everybody recognizes in the industry that outboards, the appetite for outboards is driven primarily from the US, but it's not exclusive to the US. I think we're getting an increasing number of boaters worldwide where outboards are appealing because they have developed, they become, you know, very sophisticated. And that idea that it's sort of super simple from an engineering point of view, the engine is bolted on the back of the boat, is appealing to some buyers. And yet, with an inboard diesel, first of all, not all traditional Princess customers are comfortable with the idea of a petrol. And the aft bathing platform area in the med is really important to some owners. Yeah. And having that clean transom with diesel stern drives is a real benefit. So I wouldn't say that outboards is for the US and inboard diesels is for Europe. I think it'll be a blend. And similarly, we're launching the C48 as an open day boat. Although following that, there will be an enclosed Exolin version. And I think equally, we don't see that one is for any particular market.
No.
Yes, in our traditional Scandinavian markets, the Exolin boat I think will be popular. But also the fact that you can enclose the main deck and air condition it will be appealing to owners in hot climates, particularly where there's high humidity.
Yeah, you don't want to isolate or categorize people into a certain market or, you know, what
we're, is. We're agnostic.
Yeah, that's what we like to hear. So who is the target customer for the C-Class? Is it kind of younger first-time owners, or would you say it's Princess clients looking for something a bit different?
Well, I think it's both. I think that, you know, we're very lucky at Princess. We've got a broad spectrum of buyers. We do tend to appeal to knowledgeable boaters, passage makers. You know, we build a very practical boat that's designed for people who understand what it means to go passage making and spend long periods of time at sea. So we're always very focused on some of the practical elements like storage and, you know, in addition to the sort of classic Princess traits of strong performance, strong sea keeping and the level of craftsmanship on board. So I think certainly we're going to appeal to our existing owners. We have owners that have multiple boats. So perhaps owners of bigger boats will consider a C-48 perhaps as a second boat. Mm-hmm. But also, as a traditionally quite a conservative brand, we're keen to meet tomorrow's boater. Mm. And again, I think with the simplicity of outboard power, perhaps we'll appeal to maybe younger buyers or buyers in different territories. Yeah. So keep feeding the pyramid of Princess ownership, where we have, you know, owners of Princesses that have had multiple boats. Mm. Perhaps this is a reason to attract a new buyer into the Princess family, so they can see what's special about A, the Princess product, but B, the Princess ownership experience, and hopefully find the customers of tomorrow.
Absolutely. And you've obviously introduced multiple new models this year across F, V, X, and now the C classes. So you sort of touched on it there, but how do you maintain that consistent Princess DNA while innovating across so many ranges?
Well, I think that's the beauty of having such clarity on what Princess means. You know, to me, the fundamentals of Princess are the world's best seakeeping and performance in our addressable market, delivered with a level of craftsmanship that many others can't achieve. And we're very fortunate because we are one of the industry's most vertically integrated boat builders. We employ over 2,000 boat builders that spend 100% of their working time crafting Princess yachts. And that might be on the assembly line where these beautiful things come together, or it might be in the cabinet shop where we like to joke as being the UK's biggest furniture builder. Maybe making fuel tanks or water tanks or wiring harnesses. You know, if it can be made in-house, it's generally made in-house. Mm. And so, you know, that ownership of in-house quality and delivery is fundamental to the
DNA. Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter really if expanding the range laterally as we have been. You know, X-Class was, in hindsight, I think quite brave for a relatively conservative, traditional motor yacht builder. And, you know, certainly it didn't appeal to all buyers, but it has been highly successful for us. And we're excited that in the spring, there'll be a third X-Class boat, the X90, hull number one, will be delivered. This will be unveiled to the public at the Cannes Yacht Show next year in the autumn. And so, you know, that's testament to the success of stretching ourselves.
Absolutely.
C-Class is another innovation that we're excited about. You know, perhaps at the smaller end of our product spectrum, and I would love to find a way of that becoming a range of boats, perhaps some smaller boats, if we can find a sensible way to deliver them in an economical way that generates some positive returns to us. Certainly, in terms of attracting new buyers for the Princess brand, it's appealing.
Absolutely.
So I think we're able to maintain that Princess DNA with lots of different product concepts, as long as we're true to those core values.
I'm sure. And obviously at Cannes, we had the C-48, but you actually also teased a major announcement here in Monaco. So this is Princess's return to the 30-meter plus segment. So you're targeting both ends of the spectrum now. So could you describe the vision behind this move? And can you give boat the exclusive?
Yes. So we're very pleased to announce here at Monaco that we are back in big boats. So this will be the first boat built to class for some time. So not everybody will remember, but we're not newcomers to boats built to class above the 24-meter load line rule. In fact, we had an extensive range, which we called M-Class, the last of which we delivered back in 2018, our last 40-meter, which was a 132-foot boat. And between all of the M-Class boats, we actually built and delivered 38 boats, which is you know, no small feat. But it has been some time, 7 years, in fact, since we've really talked in anger about building boats now to LY3 Yacht Code. Mm-hmm. And we're delighted to announce the new Odyssey series of large yachts, starting with the 106 Odyssey, which will launch in 2028. So this is a...
Exciting.
Yes, it is. And it's a nod to the fact that we've created hundreds of yachts over 80 feet. Mm-hmm. For hundreds of loyal Princess owners, many of which have said, you know, I'd love to go bigger. Mm-hmm. What can you do? And obviously the 95 that we're sitting on, the Y95, which shares the platform with the X95. Between those two boats, we've now secured orders and delivered many of 41 boats. The next one that we sell will be hull number 42, which is, you know, Pretty impressive,
yeah.
For any builder in this industry,
absolutely.
And not all of those customers, of course, will want to go bigger, but many will.
No.
And now we're giving them an opportunity or a reason to go bigger with Princess. Mm. With all of those characteristics, they trust Princess for our performance and seakeeping. They trust our craftsmanship. They trust our ownership experience. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, the secret to success in this industry is to deliver the best product for a fair value and to deliver the best ownership experience in the industry. Mm. And hopefully, if we're able to continue to do that, we can now take those customers on that next step above 100 feet.
Yeah, well, congratulations. That's very exciting news.
Thank you.
And I would love to know what, you know, the 106 Odyssey, what this like really represents, you know, Princess's return to the super yacht segment.
First of all, it has to deliver on our DNA. So the level of craftsmanship, expectation is very high. And obviously, this is a bigger boat for us. So it's how do we take that level of craftsmanship to the next level? Mm-hmm. And also deliver an ownership experience that fits with the Princess journey. So from a performance and seakeeping point of view, the boat has to be extremely efficient. It has to deliver a soft and dry ride. And it has to be able to deliver not only efficiency at displacement speeds. Many of our customers now with stabilization are choosing to run their boats at slower speeds, perhaps displacement mm-hmm. speeds, 10 to 12 knots, let's say. But the ability, when needed, to run at speeds closer to 20 knots is also important. Mm-hmm. So for the 106 Odyssey and for the Odyssey range going forwards, we've developed a new, what we're calling a hybrid fast displacement hull.
Okay.
Which is Princess's interpretation of what a large yacht hull should be. So it's going to be quite a interesting recipe of a fine entry forward with twin chines at the forward end, mm-hmm. transitioning into round bilges as you go aft, and an interesting hull rocker that reduces the level of transom immersion so that the boat will run at all speed ranges without throwing out a big wash and therefore will be particularly efficient. Mm. So with a fuel capacity of around 16,000 litres of fuel, we're looking at 2,500 nautical mile range at around 9.5 to 10 knots. So it's going to be extremely efficient at slower displacement speeds, mm-hmm. or let's say mid-range displacement speeds, but we'll also have the ability with V12 engines on conventional shafts and propellers of up to the 2,200 horsepower MAN V12 of, you know, 21, 22, perhaps 23 knots. So for those customers that are trying to make a restaurant appointment or perhaps catch a flight, they'll have the ability to
order. They want to get from one end of the boat show to the other, of course.
Perhaps, yeah, it could be.
That's fantastic. So when is construction expected to begin?
So there's a considerable level of capital investment to deliver this project. So that starts almost immediately. Mm-hmm. So although we don't need a new factory to deliver the 106, because Odyssey is going to be a series of boats, mm-hmm. we're intending to expand our factory space at our South Yard facility in Plymouth.
Okay.
And that should break ground in 2026. Mm-hmm. And that will be in line with investment in major tooling. This is going to be a composite yacht, mm-hmm. so hull and deck tools, and obviously the infrastructure in the factory to be able to fit out these boats and deliver them mm-hmm. out of our Plymouth facilities. We'll start next year, and with an eye to launching hull one in 2028.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we'll be keeping our eyes peeled then for all the updates. And would you say that the 106 Odyssey is closer in spirit to the bold X class or the more traditional Y class? Or would you say it's forging a new identity entirely for Princess Super Yachts?
I think a blend of all three, to be honest. I think this is going to be a big volume boat.
Yeah.
And the X class certainly has delivered that. Mm-hmm. So from a space perspective, you know, X class DNA is embedded in this new Odyssey program. But the look and feel of the boat is going to be something new. So we're trying to get the external aesthetic to be something new and exciting for Princess. Mm-hmm. So it will be purposeful in a way that inspires exploration and passage making, but hopefully will also appeal to a customer that appreciates classic Princess good looks.
Mm.
So watch this space. We're sharing a tease image, but we're still working on the detail aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And watch this space. More to follow.
We will. And you've described the teaser campaign as spacecrafted.
Yeah.
How does that philosophy translate to the design and the lifestyle on board?
So I think a blend of, I love the spacecrafted campaign. So full credit to our marketing team. Because the space and volume on board a Princess is one of the things that sets us apart.
Mm-hmm.
Through, you know, the modern manufacturing techniques, resin infusion in hull, deck and structures. We are able to use every square inch of the inside of a boat. And because of the accuracy of infusion molding, we're able to reduce those margins of error, if you like, to absolutely capitalize on all the space that's available. So space is a fundamental. And the 106 is going to have a gross tonnage of 254 gross tons. So she's a big boat for 106 feet. And that will be, I think, you know, very meaningful part of the project. And when we get into the mock-up stage, when we do develop a new boat, we build a full-scale mock-up of every new project, so that our design team can hone and refine the designs, but also so customers can come and appreciate the scale. So that's the space element of boat. The crafted element is the fact that this is crafted in Plymouth by those 2,000 boat builders.
Mm-hmm.
And we consider the skills that we have in Plymouth to be among the finest in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a fundamental, you know, crafted in Plymouth. And then the third element, you know, being the sort of the nod to the future,
is
that this is a Princess for tomorrow, and something that's you know, founded in the traditional craftsmanship and skills of Princess of old, but this is a product for the customer of tomorrow that's going to, you know, be an exciting journey for both new and existing Princess owners. Something that's going to whet the taste buds and get them excited about what they're going to be doing on their boating journey, you know, beyond 2030.
Yeah. And you've said before that obviously many clients eventually outgrow the current range. Would you say that this new launch is designed to retain them within the Princess family then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing that we're proud of, and I'm particularly proud of at Princess, is we're quite a humble company. We're quite a humble brand. You know, that's probably founded by our founder, David King. He was always very quick to appreciate that our customers know our boats better than we do, because they live on them.
Yeah.
And so who better to inform what the Princess of tomorrow should be than our existing owners? And so, you know, we listen to our customers, and when they tell us where they'd like to go next, you know, we like them to be part of that journey, and that really informs getting tomorrow's boat or the recipe for tomorrow's boat right. So absolutely, it's fundamental to bring our Princess owners with us. But also, it's going to stretch our legs and hopefully appeal to people who traditionally may not have considered Princess.
Perfect. And finally, what can visitors expect to see from Princess here in Monaco in terms of models and, you know, perhaps the story that you're wanting to communicate? You know, what would a successful Monaco Yacht Show look like for Princess this year?
So we're really pleased to be back. And, you know, this is a big boat show. So to be here with our Y95 feels very credible, and it feels right to be here. But having been absent for 6 years, I think it's exciting to be back with the first Y95 that's shown with a six cabin interior.
Mm-hmm.
the realization amongst us that if you want a raised pilot house yacht with six cabins below LY3 regulations, which makes running a boat and operating a boat much more cost effective and much simpler, then there aren't many options out there. And we developed this particular boat for a retail buyer, and we're delighted with the way she's turned out. And I think particularly for those considering charter, this is a very compelling option. So it's exciting to be back at Monaco with the first of a new style of Y95. And it's an interior that works across both the Y95 and the X95. So perhaps the beginning of a new chapter.
Absolutely, and I'm sure it is. So yeah, you've got the Y95, you've got this exciting new news about re-entering the superyacht segment. You're brushing shoulders with all the big giants.
Yeah, well, it's exciting times at Princess. You know, our turnaround journey is working. Our financial performance has moved on significantly. And now we're able to stretch our legs and start to do some more exciting things. So we announced a number of new models that can. We're here at Monaco announcing the new Odyssey range of superyachts. Mm-hmm. And so it's exciting times ahead for Princess.
Absolutely. And we're really excited to cover it all on Boat International. So readers will be able to find out more details on our website as well, which is great. So yeah, massive congratulations to you from in Cannes and in Monaco. Lots and lots of news from Princess, which we love to see, especially, you know, as a British person myself, I like to see that the British yard is pushing through.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for helping us share our story.
Of course. And Will, I've got one last question, and it's for you. I like to ask everybody at the show, what is your boat show survival tip?
Oh, that is a good one. Lots of water and an early night. It's easier said than done.
Easier said than done, but it's advice I think we could all do to take a bit of. So, yeah.
Yeah, and putting a sunscreen, although that's not one I follow myself. I'm always getting told off. But
No, actually. And I think it's meant to rain for the rest of the week, so maybe it'll be okay. That's a whole different challenge. But anyway, Will, thank you so much. It's been really great to hear all the exciting developments at Princess. And yeah, I'm wishing you all the best.
Thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this week's Boat Briefing podcast, which was a production of Boat International Media. That was Will Green, CEO of Princess Yachts, speaking with me on board the Y95 at this year's Monaco Yacht Show. From the challenges of supply chains to the launch of the Odyssey series, it's clear that Princess is balancing its heritage with a bold new chapter of growth. If you'd like to find out more about the news we discussed, including Princess's latest models and the full details of its return to the superyacht sector, head to boatinternational.com, where you'll find all our coverage, including our live blog from the Monaco Yacht Show 2025. Thanks so much for listening to Boat Briefing. I'm Holly Majerison, and I'll see you next time.